was a good friend of mine.
Hello and welcome to the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. My name is Kyle Case, and I'll be your host on this amazing journey as we attempt to help you get the most out of your life. Speaking of which, man, I'll tell you what, this wellness journey, it really is a journey, isn't it? And it is lifelong. So today, I want to talk about snacking. And who doesn't love to snack? I know I do. I think most of us like to grab a snack now and then. And I am not saying that an occasional treat is out of order, but if you're like me, you could probably do a little bit better in the snacking department. So I found an article on Business Insider. It's called A Nutritionist Who Cut Down on Ultra-Processed Foods Shares His 5 Go-To Grocery Store Snacks. How's that for clickbait? I mean, if that doesn't pull you in, I don't know what is. So anyway, I found the article. I thought it was really good. It was useful. It had some great ideas, and so I thought I'd share it with you today. I think for many of us, myself included, when hunger strikes, we want to grab a 3 p.m. chocolate chip cookie or maybe even an after-work bag of chips. I think that's very normal for many of us. Even the most disciplined and dedicated healthy eaters might find themselves tempted. And then there's the rest of us, right, who might find themselves tempted but definitely feel that way. So there's probably a reason behind that. I think it's because the snack foods like these tend to be ultra-processed, meaning that they've been designed very specifically to be convenient and hyper-palatable. These kinds of snacks are made particularly enticing with the perfect combination of fat, sugar, and salt. And on top of that, these foods are marketed to us, and they're really quite irresistible. That's according to UK-based nutritionist Rob Hobson. He says you want to keep eating more of them because of these features, but there are minimally processed healthier snacks at the store if you know what to look for, and he's going to share his 5 favorites. Hobson decided for himself to cut down on ultra-processed foods, partly because they're linked to health concerns such as cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and even certain types of cancer. And they're also associated, of course, we know, with overeating and weight gain, and they tend to contain a lot of sugar, salt, and saturated fats. Experts, really, this is interesting, they don't fully understand why processed foods are so bad for our health, but the evidence is really stacking up that they are bad for us. Hobson defines ultra-processed foods as items containing 5 or more ingredients, many of which you wouldn't find in a regular kitchen, that have a very long shelf life and come in highly attention-grabbing packaging. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about high ultra-processed foods. He shared the minimally processed snacks that he likes to pick up from the grocery store when he's in a hungry and a rush. The first one is fruit and nut bars. So he says protein bars tend to be ultra processed, though they can certainly have their place in a balanced diet when eaten in moderation. But Hobson called snack bars made with just dried fruit and nuts a good minimally processed option. Nuts are a great source of plant-based protein, and they contain heart-healthy fats. And being from the United Kingdom, he's a fan of the British brand called Naked Bars, and that's N-A-K-D. But you can buy those online here in the United States if you want to look for them on the internet. Number 2, another healthy snack is hummus paired with some chopped vegetables such as carrot sticks. Hummus contains chickpeas, which is a great source of fiber and protein, as well as olive oil, which contains healthy fats. And Hobson recommended always looking at the nutritional label because some products contain fewer additives than others. The next one Hobson suggested is to grab a bar of nut butter such as peanut, almond, or cashew with as few ingredients as possible, and then spread it on a rice cake, which seems like an easy way to get a great snack. He says that's a nice protein snack. Number 4, I really like this one. That's plain popcorn. Now, many of us are used to enjoying popcorn doused in salt and butter at the movie theater. And listen, I'm a huge fan. I love to go to the movies. I never want to eat a movie without popcorn. But Hobson says that popcorn can be a very healthy snack when eaten plain. And popcorn is high in fiber. It's also considered a whole grain, which is linked to reduced risk of diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And like I said, I love a good tub of popcorn at the movie theater, but I also do like to make it at my own home. I add a little bit of salt and butter, but I do control the amount. And I try to keep it minimal. when I put that popcorn together for a snack in the evening times. And then finally for me, fresh fruit is an easy go-to. It sounds obvious, but fresh fruit such as berries, oranges, and apples are easy to pick up and eat on the go. And when you're looking for five ingredients or less, it's hard to find a better option than those one ingredient choices like fresh fruit. So there you go. A few healthy choices next time you're in the mood for a snack. Today's guest, I'm very excited to introduce. Shelly Gish has spent most of her life learning about the benefits of holistic healing with 50 plus years of experience in behavioral genetics, 31 years in alternative health modalities, and 10 years in herbology. As a single mother of 8 children and the proctor mother of many adjudicated youth, her journey into the world of health began as a necessity to care for her large family. Shelly has also worked in every area of the real estate industry throughout the past 45 years and currently resides in Santa Clara, Utah. In addition to her 8 children, she also has 25 grandchildren. She sings in the Heritage Choir, which is awesome. And she has also been in senior pageantry since 2018 as Miss Senior Utah, Miss Senior Oregon, as well as Miss Senior Canada. Shelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kyle. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, we're excited to visit with you today. Wow, what an active life.
It's been a busy time.
Yeah, yes. It sounds like it. You spent a lot of your life obviously raising children. I mean, I think that's a given. Both your biological as well as your foster children. You're currently a realtor. How do you do it? Like, tell us how living a healthy life helps you have the energy that you need to support all of these many causes.
Well, I think even as a young person, I was very, very determined to stay healthy and slender. I don't think big or small makes you who you are, but for me, my family had some issues with some health things, and okay. I didn't want those. So I tried to eat differently, act differently, exercise differently, so that I could be prepared to be a healthy mom. So when you're raising children, you're very busy.
Always active, always on the go.
And they love doing any fun thing that you can bring to them. So the more I could keep them in the parks, the more I could keep them in the pool, the more I could keep them running up and down the trails, the better it was for them, but also for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think one of the greatest things that we can do as parents and even as grandparents is to play with the kids, right?
I agree.
And part of this active aging journey, this active life that we're chasing, that we're looking for, that we're trying to find, you know, wherever we can, it has to be about being able to continue to do that for as long as possible. I want to be able to play with my grandkids. And honestly, I want to be able to play with my great grandkids. I hope I'm able to do that. I know that there are many athletes at the Huntsman World Senior Games that are able to do that. And it sounds like you're on track to do that as well. But getting down on the floor and playing Legos or dump trucks or dolls or a tea party or whatever it happens to be, I think is one of the great motivators for living an active, healthy life.
I agree. And even our parents, watching our parents, their lifestyles were quite different than ours. With our fathers working sometimes from early hours to late nights and not seeing them as much. So some of my sweetest memories are even as my father aged to the 80s and 90s, he still got down on the floor with the grandchildren and let them ride on his back and cart him around the room. And that was just really dear to me.
I love it.
So I want that also. So I'm lucky enough that my 25 grandchildren, 20 of them live right here. 5 of them live up in the Twilla area. But with those 20 little ones, you should see the sleepover parties that I have. I am not a one grandchild grandma. I am, oh, we're having a sleepover.
How Everybody's coming.
So I could have anywhere from 9 to 15 of them many, many times, even still.
I love it. Now, you talked about as you were entering the child-raising years and as you continue to do that through a tremendous family, 8 children of your own, a lot of kids, a lot of foster kids. You mentioned that you did things differently. What are some of the things that you did that you felt were different that really were helpful to you?
Well, because I ended up as a single mom right after my 8th child, I knew I was going to have to raise these 8 babies by myself, no insurance, no extra money, although I still did my real estate and loved that because I started that when they were young. But I had to learn health things in order to keep them out of the doctor's office. I love doctors. They're great. But I didn't want to be there and couldn't afford to be there.
Who wants to be there, really, right?
Right. So I learned about oils. I learned about colloidal silver. I learned the benefits of garlic. I learned how to test them for allergies on my own. I learned about ozone treatments. I loved the special and alternative specialists that were all over our area. And that helped me to get them through all those things of little kid life and then growing up and myself as well, because we're not immune from everything they bring home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and they tend to bring stuff home, right?
They do indeed.
I know that I did that, or I noticed that when my kids were in school themselves, and since then I've helped out in a coaching role. And so, the kids can definitely share the germs, right?
They bring them often.
Yeah,
they bring them home from school.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that is definitely an area in our lives that we need to make sure that our immune systems are strong, and then we can be able to really enjoy them, you know, as we go through those years together as well. So you mentioned several things. I want to focus on maybe one or two of them. Talk about garlic. You mentioned garlic specifically.
Okay. Well, I loved garlic from the time we were young. My mother taught us that garlic could help a great deal with earaches, with ear pain, with congestion, with respiratory, and just in the basic general immune building of the body. So from the time my kids were little, I would use those little tiny oil capsules of garlic, because if you tried to feed them a piece of garlic, they weren't really crazy about that. But they would eat those little garlic capsules, and they even would chew them, and I could smell it on their little breath.
Yeah, you knew if they were faking it or not, right?
Yes, you did. But that really made a big difference in keeping them healthy.
So the benefits of garlic, they found strengthen the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
What other things come with garlic?
Well, like I said, for our family, respiratory was huge to use when you had a cold of any kind. Earaches and ear infections, I did use garlic all of the time for that. So they were very, very healthy. And because they would take it every day, I had less and less things I had to worry about.
Yeah, excellent. Great, great. I know that when my daughter was young, she had real trouble with ear infections. Just consistent and almost continual. And it was very painful and just, you know, kind of a burden. But we used garlic at the time as well, and it seemed like that was a game changer, or at least a difference maker for her.
And we still use garlic and sell garlic even in our store. It's one of the most popular things when we have it made correctly and use it.
Yeah.
So,
colloidal silver. Talk about that just a little
bit. Colloidal silver. What an incredible thing it was when I learned about colloidal silver. Whether it was for an outside injury or whether it was, again, for colds or flus or internal things, even strep throat and things like that, it would make everything less than what it was. And as I learned that, things like cold sores would start disappearing, respiratory and pneumonias would start disappearing in many people. And it just has gone on to be probably one of the greatest products that I've ever learned about. I had a little boy who had a brown recluse bite.
And that's not fun.
Very scary on the bottom of his big toe. And I had no idea what it was at the time when that little foot looked like it was starting
swelling
to die.
Up and
then, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I prayed to know what to do.
You're allowed to say it.
Colloidal silver was what I was told. And so I began soaking his foot in it and having him take it. And in very short order, it began to clear up.
Wow.
Little hamsters that tore themselves apart in a little fight, I'd put colloidal silver on there and they'd be back to normal in a very short time. Even now, up through all of these years, it's probably among the top five things used, both purchased at our store and used in our families.
Yeah, so a lot of definitely anecdotal evidence for yourself that you've been able to take advantage of some of these alternative options, which you know, are definitely worth exploring. Do you have a source that you go to? Is it online or books that you find information about alternative options to look at?
Yes, from the time I had that eighth little boy and I ended up single mom with all eight, I thought, holy mackerel, what direction do I go? So I first turned to oils and started to read about the benefits of oils. At that time, they were inexpensive, they were easy to find, and a peppermint oil could bring down a fever. And so I just found that whether we were doing joy oil to bring them up or like peppermint oil to calm them down and stop these things, there were so many wonderful oils by many of the companies out there that were wonderful. And so that made a huge difference in our family. So when I started using those, that's when I really started to make a change in my knowledge and in theirs for all the different health problems of everyday life.
Yeah, which we all have, right? Everybody goes through the bumps and bruises and the colds and the fevers and the ear infections and all those things that are part of life. I do want to shift gears just a little bit. Obviously, family is so very important to you, and it is to so many of us. You have a kind of a tradition where you set goals, and then you kind of compete against each other to see who can achieve those goals. Talk a little bit about how that has worked for you and what that is.
Okay, well, from the time they're little, they all have their own interests, whether it's soccer, t-ball, or tennis, or whatever it is. So they're all doing their own things as they grow up, and you're supporting them as best you can. They knew my goals were to stay healthy. I loved gyms, I loved clubs, I loved exercise. Not all of them loved that. But as they got to be grown-ups, when they would get to the point that some of them felt like they weren't being their best, then we have a family thread, several of them, and they would get on our family thread. One of them would say, hey, you know, I'm just not really liking my posture right now. I'm not feeling like I'm doing good with my exercise and stretching. I think I need a contest. Anybody want to join? And literally within 24 hours, there'd be 17 to 25 of them all.
Everybody's
on.
I'm in.
The
I'm
husbands,
in.
The wives.
I can beat you.
Some of the teenagers. And they'd set it up. Whoever started it would do the spreadsheet. They'd set up all the goals. They'd put out the rules, say how much we were going to throw in, our $25 toward the winners, set up the prizes. And they would generally be about 6 weeks at a time.
Okay.
And so we've done them. And I think just this last year, we've done at least four.
Really?
In the last year. So my oldest daughter is now 48.
Okay.
And my youngest is 30.
Yeah.
And the teenagers are now hitting their 20s and 18s and 19s. So they're jumping on with us. So we set goals for steps, goals for water, goals for food, goals for stopping eating at a certain time of night, goals for how many snacks are healthy or not we're going to eat. And it just goes on. And they tease each other. They give each other, you know, all along the way on those threads.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And even some sabotage.
Sure,
you know,
of course.
Night before weigh-in.
What good family competition doesn't have a little sabotage involved, right?
Right. The favorite pink donuts showing up on the door the night before weigh-in. You know, all sorts of fun things. And I'll bet between all of us, we've lost a total of 250 pounds.
Wow.
Within the group. And we do allow friends to come in too if they want to. And we've gained great muscles. We've done great at the climbing gym. We've done more steps and more walking and definitely increased our food, increased our water and decreased our food.
Yeah. And I'll bet also at the same time, you've increased the love and the friendship that exists between the family.
And we always have that. But yes, yeah. It's always even funner.
Oh, that is awesome. I love that. That is something I think I'm going to incorporate into my own family. I come from a marginally competitive family. And by marginally, I mean like hyper competitive family. So that sounds like something that could be a lot of fun to incorporate. So I love that idea. Thank you. I do want to talk a little bit about the pageants. We haven't had a chance to really touch on that. Talk a little bit about that. How did you get into it? And what myths do we need to debunk about pageants?
Well, I didn't. I guess I would call myself the accidental queen, because it certainly wasn't anything that I was shooting for. I'd never done it as a young person, never was interested in it as a young person. I think that a lot of times people, if they haven't been involved, then they think that pageants are a lot about beauty, a lot about being sexy and being able to win over judges, either by flirting or doing better than normal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think it's about vanity and money. And perhaps it is. Maybe the younger ones, I wasn't in them, so I don't know. But as an older girl, I was out at a Wounded Warrior event in Florida, which I've done a lot of events with the Magic Stub products, and I've done all sorts of things all over the country with that, and a lot with senior softball. So
right.
Even before I knew much about senior games. But when I was at that event, It was an incredible event where the athletes were just so astounding to do what they were doing. And it touched me.
Just inspiring.
It was inspiring. But a lady came up and she sang the national anthem. And she had a whole story that went with it. And it was an amazing story. And then she sang the national anthem. She had a crown on and was in a fancy little, she wasn't in a gown, but very but nice clothes.
Looked nice, yeah.
Yeah. So I was over at my booth helping people all the time with whatever was happening for them. And all of a sudden, these five queens came up to the booth. So I was a little surprised and impressed. And that was my first beginning on getting to know them. So long story short, they kept in touch with me after that event. I had no interest or anything to do with pageantry.
Yeah.
They just were so darling.
Just nice.
They just kept emailing me and talking to me and saying, Shelley, you should come out. Shelley, you should give this a try. And I was like, no, thank you. No, thank you.
I've got other things I'm doing right now.
So many. Yeah. Real estate, foster kids, magic stuff store, and all of that, and raising children. But they did finally get me to look at her email where there was an application to see if I could be chosen to represent, in my case, Utah.
Yeah, a certain geographic area, right?
Yeah. So when my kids heard about it, my son said, is this something you want to do, Mom? And I was pacing around, and I said, well, honey, I don't know.
I haven't really given it any thought until now.
Exactly. So then he said, are you afraid? And I said, maybe. And he said, then I'm going to tell you the same thing you told us forever. If this is something you might want to do and you're just not because you're afraid, then you got to do it. And I thought, geez, they really listen to me sometimes.
Sometimes it's hard to tell, but when it comes full circle, what a great moment.
So he did, he said, we'll all help you, Mom. And so he got in touch with all the, on the thread, with all the kids. And pretty soon they were designing a queen bee costume for me to be my state costume. And they were picking my music and cutting verbs and things so that I'd know which things to leave in and to leave out, helping me write my intros. And I was always pretty good at bios and resumes and things like that. But in this, you really had to think carefully and get it all out there. And so by the time they had me completely ready, and I didn't
have... You felt ready.
I felt ready, but I didn't think about winning. If I had worried, do I going to win, then I probably wouldn't have done it. Because I'm not competitive. That's the thing, is we have these competitions in our family, and certainly life has competition.
Yeah.
But I'm not out there to just win it. I'm not in it to win it.
Yeah.
And so
just participate.
I
you find the joy
to
there.
Participate and do it. So I did. I did my first pageant in 2018. I didn't win any big awards. Maybe I was in the finalists. I can't remember, but it was such a joy. It was the fanciest fashion show I'd ever been in. And it was great to meet these ladies from all over the country, everything from 60 years old to about 100 years old, and to be involved in this senior group. The neat thing about it is with our senior group, and I say ours because I'm still in it.
Yeah, still involved.
And once you just walk across the stage and do a pageant, you don't just walk away in our group. You stay involved. You go out to the UN in New York. You feed the homeless. You go to the ceremonies where they put the wreaths on the graves.
Yeah.
You go to the honor, you know, when they have the men go out to Washington, D.C., the honor flights.
Yep.
Quite a few of the ladies are there to either greet them when they come back or there to say goodbye to them when they leave. These ladies are into so many wonderful community things that it just touches your heart no matter which one we're in. And as far as senior games, from the first year I was in it, then they asked me to come out on the fields at senior games. Yep. I was in a bunch of pictures with all bunches of teams.
All the teams as they got their medals.
Yes, I got to give out a bunch of those medals.
Yeah.
And it just grew my love of all of it just significantly. And yes, I'm still in it.
What a wonderful experience. And, you know, we know so much about the benefits, the health benefits, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual benefits of service. And I know that in a lot of ways, that's what it comes down to for this group, the pageant group. And so congratulations.
Thank
you for your help and for your service. We've run out of time, but I want to just again say thank you so much for joining us today. And best of luck in everything that you have going on in your life, which is significant.
And hopefully I will be in those senior games one of these days.
We're looking forward to it.
I am over 50.
Now's the time. Shelley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I do want to just remind everybody quickly that individual athlete registration has indeed opened. In fact, just a few weeks into registration, we have well over 3,000 athletes, so we're on the right track. In fact, many of our international friends are planning to join us this year. So far, we have athletes registered from Switzerland, Australia, Germany, Brazil, Uruguay, Barbados, Philippines, New Zealand, Costa Rica, and the Dominican Republic, and we're going to see that list grow as the registration season continues on. Many of our individual sports do fill up very quickly, so don't delay. Get yourself registered today for the 2024 Huntsman World Senior Games, and everything you need to know is available at seniorgames.net. We're so excited for next week's guest. Dr. Vonda Wright is a practicing double-boarded orthopedic sports surgeon. She's an author and frequent media and conference expert who focuses on women's health, longevity, as well as mobility. You don't want to miss that one. In fact, remember to tune in live next and every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time on AM 1450 over FM 93.1 for the Huntsman World Senior Games Active Life. We take this live show, we turn it into a podcast, and you can subscribe anywhere that you find your favorite podcasts. If you are listening by podcast, take a moment and give us a rating, write a quick review. It really helps us spread the word. And then you can find this and previous shows right on our website at seniorgames.net. So check that out. Today's inspirational thought comes from the great actress Ingrid Bergman, who said, "Getting old is like climbing a mountain. You get a little out of breath, but the view is much better." Until next Thursday, stay active.